message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
It's a real joy and a privilege to be with you again today and to have this opportunity to look into God's Word together. We trust that our time together will be a real blessing and help to you as we're going to look again today in Romans chapter number 8. There's some things about the Christian life. I trust you'll listen carefully. Maybe get a Bible. Follow along with us in Romans 8. Maybe a notepad and take some notes. This is a Bible study broadcast. We're not just here to entertain you and talk to you. We want to study God's Word. We want some light and understanding out of the Word of God to be given to you. So that, well, you know, if you just get a little light, one ray of light and understanding from the Word of God excites you. And it gets you, it thrills you. And it makes you hungry for more. And that's what we desire for you. Because the Christian life is a life of faith. It's the walk of faith. In Romans 8, Paul describes it like this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice we're talking about the Christian life now. We're not talking about getting saved. We're talking about as believers. In our service for the Lord, there's no condemnation. There's no defeat if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that's the way the Spirit of God works today, is that on the principle of life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. A performance system won't help you. Grace is the only answer. Now, when he talks about the Spirit of God working, he's going to talk about the difference between walking in the flesh, walking after the way the flesh, the old man would go, and walking in the Spirit. The reason the law system won't work, the performance system won't work, is that your flesh is weak. You can't keep the law. You're a failure. You see, and you understood that when you trusted Christ. The reason you came to Jesus Christ to be saved to start with was that you realized you couldn't do anything on your own to merit God's acceptance. You couldn't do anything on your own to make a real success out of life. Now, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've been preaching for almost 30 years. And I've learned more through in the last 30 years dealing with people than I ever did reading books in libraries. People talk about, well, this group and that group and this idea and that idea. I've sat by the hour with all kinds of different people with all kinds of different ideas over an open Bible. And you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that everybody you meet, even the people who profess otherwise, understand down in their heart that they have a weakness. That no matter how low you make the standard, sooner or later, they're not going to be able to keep it. Now, there's some folks that get all uptight, you know, and they get real righteous and real self-righteous. And they get their religion on and they say, no, not me. And they try to perform with their religion, making you think that they know. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. Now, they wouldn't define it that way. They're going to dumb sin down to something they can keep. You know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with the folks that do, don't play cards, don't do this, that kind of stuff. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. You're in trouble if that's the way God defines sin. How many foolish thoughts do you have a day? 2, 3 dozen. Yeah, see, that the thought of foolishness is sin, the book says. The plowing of the wicked is sin. The good intentions of unsaved men fall short of the glory of God. So when you define sin the way God does, then all of a sudden you see, well, we're unworthy. Some people claim their religion and get real righteous with religion. Other people claim intellectualism. They use their reason and they say, well, there's no God and they're going to be an atheist, you know. I tried to be an atheist one time. I considered that, but I don't have the faith to sustain the position, frankly. It takes a whole lot more faith to be an atheist than I've got. I just can't do it. I can understand the existential idea of Kierkegaard's blind leap in the dark. That's what an atheist has to take. I mean, you know, you look around you at the facts, and the facts just, you know, to look the facts of life and design and creation in the face and say, I'm going to believe that this stuff isn't real, there isn't a God. You know, I gave that up. I remember I was in college in a philosophy class, and the professor was talking about the first cause. Where did everything come from? And everybody says, well, it evolved, you know, and it was this big bang, and it all evolved from that. Well, what I want to know is, where did it come from before the big bang? I mean, what was the first thing that caused it? And where did it all come in the origin? Evolution doesn't bother me because it doesn't get you around the problem that you're trying to get around. The issue is, where did it all come from anyway? And so I just never have had the faith to be an atheist. It requires way too much faith for me. Just a lot easier just to accept the facts that I see around me and that confirmed by the Word of God and understand there's a God. So, but some people, you know, they intermeddle with all this wisdom and all, and what are they doing? They're trying to get rid of God. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. What's he doing? It's a heart problem, see. It's like religion. You get all this self-righteousness. Another man's trying to be righteous by getting out of accountability and shifting the blame and not being accountable. Well, when you grow up and get beyond all that, see, and you come to the place where you realize that you're a sinner and that you're going to die one day and you're going to face God in the judgment, and we all know that. See, in the heart of every person, we know there's something missing down inside. We know there's this big empty place down inside. And some people go out and get religion and try to cram it in there, but it never fits. It's like putting a square peg in a round hole. Some people go out and get rationalism and try to talk themselves out of God. It doesn't fit. Some people go out for materialism and things and indifference, just trying to cover up. We cram all these things in that hole, but they never fill the void. They never get the job done. We just keep trying, and it never works. I found the answer. You know that? I found the answer to that, to fill up that void that you're trying to fill up. I talk to people all the time. My phone rings off the wall on a daily basis. We get mail from all over the United States, in fact, all around the world. I travel and talk with people, and I find that people are all, they're all the same. They got that void in there, and you're trying to stick something in it and fill it up. Stick something in it and fill it up. It's cars, or it's a career, or it's sex, or it's drugs, or it's booze, or it's pornography, or it's education, and it's science, and it's religion, and it's ceremonial correctness, and you're trying to stick something in there to fill that up, you know, and it never does. And that thing, and there's like a black hole, it just, and it's gone. And you never get a drink that satisfies. I found the answer. You know what the answer is? The answer is Jesus Christ. I found out that void in there has a shape to it, and the shape, the piece of the puzzle that's missing, is Jesus Christ. And when you trust Him, as you say, you see, you come to Christ, and when you get saved, you come understanding there's something in yourself you can't meet and you can't do, and you got to have help from Him. And the only one ever going to save you, and the only one ever going to bring you to the place where that void is filled, and the only one ever going to take care of your sins and get rid of your guilt and give you forgiveness and acceptance and purpose and meaning, it's got to be somebody beside you and what you do. And that's who Jesus Christ is. He's God who became man, went to Calvary and died for everything that's wrong with you, and was raised again so He could give you life and fill up that. What you can't do for yourself. Do for you what you can't do for yourself. When you trusted Him, you understood you couldn't do it. Now once you get saved and you knew that you had to have Him to give it to you and you couldn't do it yourself, why in the world would you go along and say, okay, Lord, now just sit down over there and I'll go do it from now on. No. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You see, there's no condemnation. There's no problem. There's no judgment. There's no defeat. To them that are in Christ Jesus, when you walk after the Spirit, when you walk in line with what God's doing and not after the flesh, the Christian life isn't that hard, folks. It just isn't. It's not that difficult. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law, the performance system, couldn't do it because I was weak and couldn't do it. But God took His Spirit and took His Son, put me in His Son, and then put His Spirit in me. And now with Christ in me, Jesus Christ can live His life out through me. You see, Jesus Christ gave His life for me at Calvary. so that he could give his life to me when I trusted him as my Savior, so that then he could live his life through me as an instrument and an agency for him to live in. He puts his life on deposit in me. And though I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live here on planet Earth, in my body of flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live on the basis of his grace, on the basis of all that he accomplished for me through his cross work at Calvary. And that's why he goes on to say, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You know what it is to walk in the flesh? It's just to pay attention to mind the things of the flesh. You know what we do when you have children? You say, you better mind me. You better do what I say. You go do what the flesh says to do. That's walking in the flesh. That's simple enough. Not hard to understand that. They that are that walk after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, the Christian life isn't all that hard. All it is just to find out what God's doing, and by faith, let that be true, and every man a liar. There isn't a plan B for your life, by the way. God only has one plan for you. That's a plan of absolute, complete, total victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might choose another plan, but it won't be what God chose for you. He goes on and he says, for to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You understand, your old life and your old way of thinking is an absolute rebellion toward God. Your old way of thinking was, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it my way. That word sin, you see the middle letter of that word, sin? That's the problem. Right there. There's another word right there. You see that word, the middle letter of that word? Pride. That's the problem. You see this word right here? Right there? See the middle letter of that word? That's the issue right there. You know what you got to do? You have to exercise faith. The middle letter of that word right there? There's the issue. You know something, folks? You can walk in sin and you can live in pride, or you can believe what God said and you can walk by faith. But you're going to have to make a choice based upon what God's word is to do it. You're not going to get around the fact that you've got a responsibility involved in this. And when you, by faith, rest your case in what God says, you mind the things you pay attention to, and you behave like, and you mind the things that the Spirit of God's doing, the Christian life is something that Christ lives through you in a wonderfully instantaneous way. Now, there's something interesting. Verse 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice this issue of Christ being in you. The only person that can ever live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. You're not going to be able to do it. That's the whole point here. If you try to do it, you're going to wind up a mess. So what you have to do is, by faith, understand that you can't, but He can. Now, it's interesting. In the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit has not been mentioned but one time. He's only been mentioned once in Romans prior to Romans chapter 8. And that mention is in chapter 5, verse number 5, where he says about the experience of the believer, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But he doesn't describe to you how God the Holy Spirit can take the value and esteem that God has for you manifest through Calvary and bring it into the experience of your life so that you experientially have that living and shed abroad in your hearts. He doesn't explain that until he gets to Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, no less than 19 times in one chapter, the Spirit of God is mentioned by name. Now, you think about that. You have seven whole chapters of the book of Romans where he only mentions the Holy Spirit one time, and that only in an incidental manner. You get to chapter 8, and now 19 times in that one chapter, he talks about the Spirit of God. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He talks about walking the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled on us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. And he goes right on down. He gets down to verse number 9, and he says that now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because you have a perfect righteousness, God gives you his life. He gives you his Spirit. And on he goes through there. Now you say, well, why is that? Why is it that he doesn't mention the Spirit until now? Folks, the first seven chapters are talking about the work that God does in the life of the believer. And that doctrinal foundation is laid down there so that you have an understanding of how God the Holy Spirit works. And now he begins to tell you in Romans 8 about taking that information, this understanding, and filling your mind with it. It is God the Holy Spirit who works through his written word. God the Holy Spirit works in your life. We're strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. God the Holy Spirit works and strengthens and empowers the believer through an understanding of what God has accomplished for us in Christ. There is no need to start talking about the Spirit's work and naming the Spirit and talking about the Spirit and explaining how he's working until you have the understanding that is necessary as the foundation for him to work in your life. You see, the operation of the Holy Spirit is not some emotional kind of a thing. It's not something that just comes on the scene willy-nilly, bang. It isn't this business about, you know, a man called me up, he says, well, what you need to do is you should quit preaching grace and you should be preaching the baptism in Jesus' name with initial evidence of speaking in tongues. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, you got to get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Then you need to get the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the initial evidence of speaking in tongues and have God's Spirit just take over and work in your life. God doesn't do that kind of thing today. God, the Holy Spirit, is not going to come into your life and just take possession of you and start operating and speaking tongues through you or operating different kind of things through you and doing for you independent of your faith and your intelligent understanding of what he's doing and your faith resting in the facts of God's Word. You know how I know that? That brother goes back to Acts 2 and quotes the Acts 2 program, the Pentecostal program. You know what Paul said? He said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, if you want to think that you got to get baptized in Jesus' name, water baptism, and then get a baptism with the Holy Spirit in order to be completely birthed into the family of God, you got a problem. You disagree with Paul. You don't believe what Paul believes. You don't teach what Paul taught. And you say, but I'm teaching what Peter says. Yeah, they're teaching something different then, aren't they? Because Paul said there's one baptism, not two, not three, one, that operates today. Now, there's maybe a dozen different baptisms in the Bible. Paul understood that. He mentions several of them in his epistles, different kinds of baptisms. It isn't that there aren't more than one kind of baptism in the Bible, or at different times God didn't have different ones in operation. Just today, for members of the church, the body of Christ, there's only one, and that's by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you trust Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, the operation of God the Holy Spirit is that he takes you and he baptizes you in the living oneness with the person of Jesus Christ, and you are united with him in his death and in his life. And that happens the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. And you don't need a water ceremony to come along later, and you don't need some other baptism with the Spirit or anything else when you have what God already did and when God says that's the only one he's operating today. Because when he puts you into Christ, you're complete in him. And he blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. Now, to understand how the Spirit of God works, it's not some fanatical kind of a thing. And it's not some great experiential thing that happens. And it's not some formal kind of piety and pietism. Rather, there's some understanding that you have to have. That's what the first seven chapters of Romans are about. So that then, based on that understanding, God the Holy Spirit can take that understanding of His grace to you in Christ and then release it into operation in your life as you are spiritually minded. That is, as you mind the things of the Spirit. As you walk by faith in what God the Holy Spirit says in the first seven chapters of Romans are the reality in your life. As you just live by faith, resting in who God says you are in Christ, dependent upon who God has made you. You know, there's a great deal of dodging going on today as to what the real issue is. And I draw on the board all the time for you this little chart, and I try to illustrate how God looks at the thing because of the cross. Jesus Christ died at Calvary. And when He died there, He died for your sins and for my sins, and He took them out of the way, and God made Him to be sin for us. And here we were over here before we trusted Christ, and we were in Adam, and we were in our sin, and we were in our flesh, and we were under the condemnation and the operation of the law, and we were over here in the kingdom and the program of Adam. And when we trusted Jesus Christ, we go through, we're identified with Jesus Christ in His death and His burial and His resurrection, and God changes our identity and changes who we are, and He puts us into Christ. We're made members of the body of Christ. We're placed in the living oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're taken out of Adam and we're put into Christ. And we're taken out of our sin and we're put into His righteousness. And we're taken out of the flesh. And the Spirit of God is now put in us. And He's the issue. We're no longer in the flesh in the sense of being controlled by it. We live in this body. I'm not talking about geographic residence. He's talking about the controlling factor, what you mind, what controls and runs your life. We're not a slave to sin any longer, but now we're free in Christ. We have this new identity over here in Christ. And God has literally changed us from one place to another. We have a new status in Christ. And our dependency and our faith and our confidence has to be rested here. Folks, if you go back over here and you try to operate on the basis of the old life, it produces death. To be carnally minded is death. Your Christian life won't operate over here. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says He fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You see, folks, people talk about the issue in your life as a believer is not, it's not codependency. The problem in our lives as believers is misplaced dependency. Just simply unbelief. Not standing in the truth of who we are in Christ, but thinking that based upon something that we're going to do, things are going to be different. Rather than understanding it's on the basis of what Christ has done that things are different. You see, what we have to do is learn to just relax. And that's hard. I understand that. That's difficult. That's tough. No, it's not either. Relaxing is easy. Working's what's hard. What we do is we just rest by faith in who God has made us in His Son. Verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." You know what it is to be spiritually minded? It's to recognize that Jesus Christ is in you and that it's His life living itself through you that is the issue. It's not anything other than that. It's His life is on deposit in us. And our life and time on planet Earth is just really His life in human form manifesting itself through us. Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ." That's it. You know what it is to be spiritually minded? For to me, to live is Christ. Not me, my problems, my difficulties, but Christ living in me, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how I feel about it, Him living in me and gaining the victory and doing the work. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's it. Who's my life? Jesus Christ is my life. Philippians chapter number 2. Folks, He's the issue. Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the issue. His thinking, the way He thinks. Where do I get that? Folks, the only way you're going to get how He thinks is in Romans through Philemon in a King James Bible. That's what God's doing today. Taking the truth of what God's doing today and making that the way I think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. What do? We walk like He walked. It's Him living His life through us that's the issue. Galatians chapter 4. Paul tells the Galatians, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's the issue. Not some denomination, religion formed in you, but Christ formed in you. He says, what, know you not that as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. That's the issue. You know what it is? He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's a new identity that you have. You're somebody new. Go live like it. Let your faith rest in who God has made you in Christ. Be spiritually minded. Believe what God the Holy Spirit believes. Think what He thinks. That's the path to victory. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, Spiritually Minded. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 276. That's tape offer number 276. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.